Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
Wondering right now where your glasses are? You're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people. Welcome, Justin Sisley, today from Driven to Better podcast. And I can't begin to explain the breadth of your work because it's very, it is very fun to listen to. I've listened to a couple of shows, and I was so excited when I found your, because I said, wow, he didn't do it either, the 000 podcast, the very first one. And then I found it on YouTube. I said, oh, I was wrong. He did it.
I think they only show on iTunes, they only show like the most recent 50. So if you go on iTunes, then it won't show you that one or even a lot of the first episodes I did. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, I found it and I was very happy to find it because I feel, the way I met you was on Twitter, as I meet a lot of people. However, you know, I asked you to be on the show because you'd said, well, you haven't been diagnosed with ADHD.
No.
I said, that's okay, because you'd mentioned, maybe I have it. I don't know. I tend to, you know, maybe have some of the traits. And I think that's a valuable conversation to have with people because there are as many millions that have been diagnosed. There are many more who haven't been. Is that important? It's individual to everybody, you know? Speak to that a little bit because with what you do, you're a podcaster and an entrepreneur and you hold another job, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm got my irons in the fire for sure. And I think part of that is because of the ADHD. I can't sit still. So I am going in to get diagnosed actually next month in like a couple weeks here. I'm finally deciding to go do it because, and I don't know if this is kosher to talk about on the show, but I'll just go for it. I've taken Adderall and it helps immensely. It's just insane. Not just like, you know, people take it and, oh, now I can study more, you know, I can study longer. People took it in college all the time. I never did. But more recently I tried it and, it's just incredible that I can like, it's not that I can work longer. It does allow me to, I guess, work longer, but like I'll be sitting at work and I'll just click through like six tabs on Chrome, just four times each. I'll just go through all six of them like four times, just like totally involuntarily. It's allowing me to probably focus a lot more.
Yeah, that's huge. Wow, this is really big news. I mean, this is what I think a lot of people absolutely, you know, some people fear the medication. They think, I don't want to get a diagnosis because now that means I have to take medication, which it does not mean. Other people have had, do you have friends who have shared a positive experience about it? I mean, how did you come about trying? You don't have to rat anybody out.
No.
I'm just saying, how'd you come about thinking about that was maybe an alternative for you?
It was a friend of a friend who had a prescription. You know, she was willing to let me try it because at that point, I mean, I took an ADHD, like one of those online tests, and it's something like, you know, out of 21 or something like that, if you're over 13, you probably have ADHD, and I scored a 19. So
right.
It was like, okay, well, yeah, definitely. So at that point, I pretty much knew that I had it, and I was like, well, at the time I didn't have health insurance, so I didn't want to go in and get diagnosed because I didn't want to have to pay for it.
Right.
And then the prescription after that would have been expensive too. So I was like, all right, well, let me just try it and see what happens. And I just took like a half of one. And even from just that was like, wow, this is pretty incredible. Like I have never been able to just like sit still and focus before. And it's so weird how it works like that.
Well, that's exciting, because I think going to the doctor, you'll find out the why. But the real life experience for you, I guess, would be huge. I mean, have you had challenges at work?
I mean, not super negatively, but definitely not that it's gotten me in trouble, but I notice that I could be getting a lot more done. Like today, I just like 1:30 rolled around and I was just like, I don't even know what to do. I had like 8 tabs open in Chrome. I had 4 different spreadsheets open. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I went out and I just like took a nap in my car for 20 minutes just to like, I just had to like shut off because I couldn't do anything because there were so many things I needed to do. It just gets overwhelming. And without being able to focus, it's really tough to get a lot done during the day. But you know, that part of that I'm glad for though, because I think it's given me the motor that I have, that I am constantly looking for, you know, ways to improve my business and stuff. I think if I didn't have it, you know, I might be able to get more done. But then again, I don't know if I would be even going down that path to begin with. You know, I think that's the reason that I have all these side businesses and everything, because I need something to keep me occupied. So I don't know.
Right. Well, I can tell from just sort of looking at your website with the Driven to Better podcast. I mean, that is so professionally, phenomenally, you've got a lot going on with a club. I just joined your club. Like, you know, I'm like, wow, this is so exciting. Because I do also consider myself as an ADHD coach. I'm an entrepreneur, but it's not in the marketing or business sense. I'm more in education, coaching. So, you know, it's a little different, but I think the entrepreneurial spirit in me is this challenge for something new. You know, if I had to voice it, wanting to, you know, change the cultural conversation around ADHD is, I think, what I'm really into, why I enjoy doing the podcasting. But I believe you found me first, right? Like, did you?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I just kind of, I'm constantly out browsing for, you know, other podcasters. And I, you know, I always just like to connect with other podcasters because you never know what you can learn from somebody else, you know, tips and tricks on how to quicken the editing or, you know, anything like that. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm like sort of thinking you're a genius because I saw you had this, it's a follow along series.
Yeah.
On Fridays. I mean, this may be something everybody does, but like blew my mind because I'm like, oh, that's exciting. I don't really know how'd you come up with that?
I wish I could take credit for coming up with it myself, but there's a podcast called Startup, but it kind of hit the scene pretty hard last year. I think it was, they basically followed along and they followed their own company. So the guy started his own podcasting company, trying to, I guess, create a company that revolved around creating different podcast shows. So kind of like a TV network, but for podcasting. And so he followed himself, you know, from week to week as he developed this business, got funding, you know, figured out personnel issues, all that sort of thing. And it was hugely popular. A lot of it was because the guy who founded it used to be on NPR. So he had a lot of pull in that industry already. So it really took off, but it's just a fun idea too, because I interviews with people here and there and, you know, you hear kind of little slices of their story because you only got a half hour or an hour. But this one we go really in depth, and I've gotten real close to the guys, Garrett and Scott, that I interview every week, and I talk about my own side business as well. But yeah, it's been really cool to hear how they've evolved the business. It's amazing. They started out and they just had this Android app, and it's gotten to the point now where they're seeking funding to create a physical product. And that happened all in the span of like 6 weeks.
Wow. See, that's super exciting. So have you got an app in the works for you?
Me? No. Oh no, I don't do like, apps. Oh, no. I can do websites, but, I don't think maybe that's because of the ADHD. I don't know, but I don't have the patience to code like that. I can't sit and just type text and things like that. It's just too much.
Right. Right. Well, so, okay. I think that you're pretty creative. Tell me, when you're talking to all these different entrepreneurs, cause I was looking over, the shows are so varied. I listened to the one of the ones I love was the guy with the beard thing.
Yeah, Eric Bandholz, beard brand.
Yeah, beard brands. I'd had a guy, Eric Clark was my first show, and he like started this social beards thing on Twitter. And it's probably, I guess, from those men, the
Duck Dynasty.
Yes, it's probably started with all that. But guys are very, Jerry Arbs I had on the show, and he's, again, all into the beard. He has this whole thing. So it's, you know, so I thought, ooh, let me listen to that one. I think when you're bringing on all these guests, like, tell me what's going on for you, because they are so different.
Yeah, that's kind of why I started the show to begin with, was just because it was a lot of the same people on a lot of the other podcasts about entrepreneurs. So you would go, and I listened to, you know, some of the most popular entrepreneur podcasts. There's probably three or four of them that just about everyone listens to if they're in that kind of business. And I would just hear the same guest go from each of those four shows saying the exact same thing. And then it just seemed like it was very regimented almost. And we weren't hearing from people who are more relatable, I guess.
Yeah. So
that's why I focused on getting really early stage people. And Eric, specifically of Beard Brand, they're a pretty successful brand already, but he's only 2 years into it. I mean, it's amazing what they've accomplished in that little bit of time. But yeah, I just wanted people more relatable, and I wanted like physical product businesses too, because you hear a lot of just tech entrepreneurs and app after website after software. And
I see a lot of marketing stuff. You know, it's just marketing, and how to, and some writing.
Mm-hmm.
All that's important, but it does tend to listen to it isn't the most exciting, but to listen to other things, because the world is wide. I'm the same way with the ADHD. I'm like, there's just so many, it's more interesting to listen to you talk about your life and what it's like with it.
You know, you're being diagnosed as an adult. What are your thoughts about kids getting diagnosed?
Yeah, it's weird to me how many kids get it now. I think some of that is just kids are just generally hyper, and I don't know if there's like too many being diagnosed, if it's just like, just calm my kid down. He's just, I can't handle him. You know, parents are just like, give him something to make him stop.
I think a lot of people think that. I don't know. I know the people that I've met when I've worked in the schools, that truly you see the difference between the kids with the ADHD. And I don't know, I guess I shouldn't say that, because I don't know that they've been diagnosed, but I see a difference.
Yeah.
You know, how was school for you?
School. I mean, I could easily identify the kids who had it in school, and I was not one of them. I was not like a hyperactive kid, really. That's why I don't know if I've had it all my life. I don't know that much about it, that I don't know if it is like something you're born with or something you can develop. Do you know how?
Everything I've learned points to that you're born with it, and that it's hereditary. Do you know anyone in your family with it?
No. Of course, again, we go back to just how the technology has changed and the ability to diagnose it and the awareness of it and that sort of thing.
Hyperactivity is just the sort of stereotypical trait that people talk about, but there's the inattentive and sort of daydreamy, or maybe always has their head in a book, or they're just sort of more quiet and intense, like their minds are going.
Yeah.
Their mind, the hyperactive, like not physically, but mentally restless.
Yeah. My girlfriend hates it, but I can't go to bed without watching some sort of fiction. So I have to watch, you know, I'll usually watch comedy series on TV or read. I try to read fiction books. But yeah, I can't go to sleep unless I do that, because otherwise my mind just wanders off and I'll be thinking about one of the 10,000 business ideas I have.
Right.
And I'll never get to sleep. He hates it, but I have to do it, or it won't happen. And that, and I forget everything.
Right. And so how about your sense of time?
That's pretty good. I think I know when I'm wasting a lot of it.
That's not what I meant. No, I mean, like showing up late, or maybe, you know, you you feel like you were doing something for just 10 minutes, but actually it's been 4 hours.
I don't think I get a lot of that. I mean, my whole family is the type that's always like 5 to 10 minutes late to everything. I have that certainly, but I don't ever just kind of not realize that time is passing.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. The other thing I looked on that online test was that they asked, like, do you forget appointments and stuff? And yes, like 1,000%. Like my girlfriend, another thing she's always given me grief about is, and I shouldn't make her out to be like, she's a terrible girlfriend. She gives me playfully about it. She's always messing with me about how I can't remember anything unless it's in my calendar and I have 3 reminders set up. Otherwise I will just forget it. And like it could be like an entire weekend trip and I won't remember until the day before when she's like, did you pack?
Right. You're like, for what?
Yeah.
Was that something that you've grown up always being like, or do you feel like that's more recent?
It's tough to say. I mean, I guess I definitely know. I haven't really noticed until recently, I guess. And it's hard for me to say whether it's been like that or not for my entire life. I really don't think so. Well, as a kid, it's tough because you don't have anything scheduled, you know? I always remembered to go to work. I've been working since I was 14. And, you know, it's never gotten bad enough that I forget to go to work. You know, when I was working part-time, you don't work the same hours every day. But I never missed a shift just because I forgot. So it was never that bad when I was a kid.
Here's a good question. How about taxes? How are taxes for you?
I hate them. I mean, what specifically about them, though?
I mean, filing your taxes. I'm sorry. Yes, we all hate taxes.
Well, I mean, I can do it, but I have a master's degree in accounting, so I probably have a little bit of an advantage over most people.
But I mean, you don't forget, or it's not something that you dread so much you don't do until the day before it's due.
Oh, no, I did it the day before it was due.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I did that. I procrastinate quite a bit. Is that another sign?
Talking about, yes, procrastination. That's okay. The word. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of a very, you know, common story for people with ADHD is the procrastination factor. And that goes back to the motivation, dopamine and stuff. But it doesn't mean you don't have interests. It doesn't mean you don't, you know, excel in things that you're interested in. So your interest is in business.
Yeah. I didn't even ask, do you have ADHD?
I don't. However, I fake a lot of people out.
Okay.
because it's in my family. And so I was the adopted child.
Okay.
And escaped the genetic pool of it. But I don't know how much environment, like you grow up around people and you behave like they do and you pick up ways of being. Plus I'm in that stage of life now where, you know, sort of going through the changes with womanhood and I see that I'm very forgetful now, where I used to have an elephant memory. Now I'm like, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to do what?
Yeah. Yeah. Now you know how we all feel.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, since you've worked with a lot of people that have it, so something that I definitely have noticed in the past 5-6 years is that I will lose motivation to do anything that requires brain activity at like the drop of a hat. Like last night, for instance, I got off of work and I was driving home and I was like, I'm pretty motivated right now. When I get home, I'm going to work on this website for like a couple hours. I'm going to get all this stuff done. Got home, I ate dinner and I was like, I'm going to play video games. And like, that was it. I stopped playing video games after a little bit and I was like, I should really get this done. And I just couldn't do it. I had no motivation. Is that part of this?
Yeah, I think that's very common because of the, you know, the amount of effort that it's going to take to engage. And I've seen it described as like a roller coaster, like your energy, you know. I mean, yes, if you're tired from work and you're hungry and you want to go home, you know, you've got a dip in energy level, but it also has to do with sort of that transitioning from one thing to another. So that's involved. And so it's sort of like with ADHD, you have to sort of ramp up to get up to like this peak performance level that you know you need to be in to do what you want to do when you wanted to work on your website. So you know what that takes, motivation to do it. You had interest to do it. You had intention to do it. But it's, and this is Jenny's belief. I'm not going to say that everybody agrees with me, but I think that it's a subconscious, you know, have you heard of them talk about executive functions?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, Dr. Thomas Brown and Dr. Barclay, they are two of my favorite ADHD doctors, Dr. William Dodson also. They speak about executive functions. It's the subconscious processes in our brain that help us get into action and help us do the things without really thinking about them, like how we organize and prioritize, or, you know, our emotions. You know, some things are just triggered, like they just are subconsciously activated. So the ADHD design seems to be a little different. And so doctors will say that it's, there's a deficit, that these executive functions aren't operating optimally. I sort of believe it's just a different design. I think that they're operating the way they're designed to. They're not designed to operate the same. That's just Jenny's opinion. I have millions of people that will disagree with that. But when it's so universal every time, when the people are saying the same thing every time, and it's the same exact, you know, when something's, if something's really broken, it's not uniform. I mean, you know, it breaks in different places with different people or something. And this seems to be reoccurring, normal. What you're describing now is that, you know, your subconscious isn't kicking in saying, yep, here we go. Like, you need to take a lot of conscious effort.
Yeah.
And consciously say, I got to get myself into this. And it's a lot of effort that I have to really, like, muster up consciously.
Yeah, see, definitely.
Yeah. And that's quite a different thing than doing it subconsciously or unconscious, whatever the, you know, term is, to do it automatically. It's not happening automatically for you. It's happening like a manual drive. You're having to like put it in gear and then go. And it's a lot more effort. So yes, what you chose to do was sit down and do a video game. Well, that's effortless, and you get immediate rewards. You get immediate stimulation. You get up to 60 like fast when you're doing something like either being online or a video game. I mean, there's other things that can do it too, but those for sure definitely get people hooked because of the immediate gratification. You're not trying to play the video game so much. You might try a little bit, but then all of a sudden you're in gear, you know? So it makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's very normal, very typical ADHD, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I hear a lot of these interviews with entrepreneurs, and you bring up like the subconscious, the ability to just kind of have your brain know what needs to be done, what tasks need to be done, when you need to switch to them and all that. A lot of entrepreneurs I listen to are huge on list making. Like, they're huge on writing down lists or using apps to create lists. And I think we talked, you know, before the interview, I had mentioned that I think that ADHD is almost like, I think that being an entrepreneur is almost a result of having ADHD, not like directly correlated. But I think if you have ADHD, I see a lot of those people as entrepreneurs. That motor just never shuts down, and you need some outlet for it that's productive. The list making, because exactly like you said, it requires so much mental effort just to do something stupid, like go and make a website, but you know you're not going to finish it. So that's the tough part. Like, you know, like I can spend 2 hours on this website. It's not going to be done till next week anyways. Like, I'm just going to play video games instead.
Oh, yeah. No, I wrote this, I have an ebook out for sale that, it's called ADHD, A Different Hard Drive, and describing all these executive functions. Well, I only described 3 of the 6, but what you're speaking to is exactly, you know, what the difference is, what's automatic and what's happening instead, you know? And so, you know, for the average person, they can be like put into motion because something's important to do. And with ADHD, you really need to have a level of interest or curiosity or urgency, you know, to get you into gear. And I think entrepreneurs are naturally more curious. So ADHD people are naturally more curious and entrepreneurs are naturally more curious. So I see what you're saying. It's not like a direct correlation, but you know, also the passion, like just getting full on hyper-focused, engaged in something. A lot of entrepreneurs need that quality because it's not easy to start a business and it's not easy to sustain all of what you have to do. But when you can hyper-focus on it because you're so interested, and I think you're right. I think that there is a very, I mean, I've heard this before, but more because they say, well, they're out of the box thinkers. Entrepreneurs think outside the box and people with ADHD think outside the box. But I think there's more to it. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not interested, I mean, I can't tell you how many half-read books I have. I'll get like halfway through and I'll just be like trying to plow through the damn thing. And it's just like, all right, I'm giving up. I can't do it. I'm just not interested anymore. And I can't sit down and even read a book. I'm reading Atlas Shrugged right now. And from what I hear from other people who've read it, it doesn't really get really good until you get to like 500 or 600 pages in. And I've just been trudging through. I'm like 350 pages in or something like that. And it's like a 1,000-page book.
Wow.
If I can finish that, like that'll be a life accomplishment for me.
Yeah, it will be. I was just saying to someone earlier today, I was like so proud of myself for this is my biggest book. My Tony Robbins money book is the thickest book I think I've read. It's like 624 pages or something. So kudos to you because it took me like 2 weeks to go through that.
Oh God, I've been reading this book for months. Like no joke. I have to like force myself to read it. I know it's going to be good. Like a ton of entrepreneurs have recommended it. I know it's going to be good, but it's just getting through the first, apparently 2/3 of the book. It's just trudging through.
Oh, well, I give you, yeah, that's the thing. Also, this whole internal reward system with ADHD, the internal reward isn't as big, like the external, it's coming from outside. And that's why you get from your goodies from your video games, you get the instant gratification or reading a book, you're going to get something out of it. Takes a little more conscious effort, you know? Yeah. 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 Wow. Well, so tell me, what was your favorite business but someone who is creating from scratch something new? Maybe not favorite, but the most something you thought would be really interesting or relatable for me, because I saw a lot of these people seem to be, they seem to be, you say startups, but some of them don't seem to be really startups. They seem to be sort of along their way.
Some of them are. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been incredibly strict on my rule of just being in the first couple of years. Some of these people are longtime entrepreneurs, but their business that they're starting is new. And that's kind of the quality I look for, is that the business itself is new. So they could have started 4 or 5 businesses before and been an entrepreneur for 15 years. But if they have a new business that
Eric Bannerholtz, that's what he was saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I jumped in right at the right episode. I was like, that guy, that was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, just one that, one that has like a nice, like personal meaning to me is the Scani episode, which is number 33 with Troy Vossler. And it, because he's in Madison, that's kind of, we have a connection there. And I'm also in Madison, if that wasn't evident by me saying that, but, he kind of created a brand that has a personality and speaks to college students. And it's just a fun brand. It's apparel, and they've got, you know, some other things too, but mostly apparel. And just, they started it out of the dorm room. It's like the prototypical dorm room startup story. I just like that. I just wish, like, I look at Troy and I wish like I would have been as entrepreneurial then as I am now. Cause in college I was still kind of, I was like, all right, I'm going to be an accountant. and that didn't work out. So I kind of wish I had been entrepreneurial. I talked to Case Kenny, who runs a publication called Pursuit, which is a blog for, I almost don't even want to call it a blog because then it just sounds like it's just somebody writing. It's more of a, I don't know, I'd call it a publication, I guess, to right. be technical. It's more magazine-like, I suppose. But he has a bunch of different writers, but it's for millennials. So it's all very like interesting stuff. It's not your Ooh. Typical...
Pursuit?
P-R-S-U-I-T. Yeah, Pursuit without the first U. But that was a fun one. It was a good interview. I think Case and I were on kind of the same wavelength, and I've since subscribed to his website, and he just is like killing it. Like every article that he comes out with is something that interests me. So it was like the perfect publication for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and that may be the perfect way to end our interview, but I got to tell you, I really appreciate you coming on today. I want you to tell everybody about how to look you up, because I'll put you in the show notes, but give me sure. your...
Yeah. So the website is driventobetter.com. And if you're interested in business or entrepreneurship, you can listen to the podcast on iTunes. You just go to driventobetter.com/iTunes and that'll redirect you straight to iTunes. Otherwise you can stream them all in your browser on the website too.
I'm excited. Now I'm in your club.
Oh, I've got another email coming out this week for, a program that I'm involved with that will give people some free books.
Oh,
got that to look forward to.
Wait, are you just telling me this, or are you going to tell everybody this?
Well, everybody will get the email eventually.
Have to all get on your email list. So everybody has to go to driventobetter.com and sign up.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll see it there. It's kind of like my main goal for people going there is to get them on the email list, you know, the whole digital marketing thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I have that too, but I spend a lot of time on Facebook in my Facebook group. I tell everybody, but I'll tell you too, come join us because it's the CNADHD group on Facebook. I just have a lot of people from the podcast come in there and other people, whoever finds us. It's an open group. It's a closed group, like private wise, but I let everybody in.
Okay.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck in your
Thank you. You too.
You'll have to come back and give us an update. You know.
Yeah.
Now that you see that medication helped you, that may be the road you want to go down. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not big on medication myself, but it just helped so much. You know, and I probably won't take it every day. I don't know what the kind of what is normal for that sort of thing. If you're supposed to take it every day, I probably won't, but you know, on days when I know that I have to get a lot done, I'll take it. Cause like any drug you can get, I'm sure you can get used to it or get, you know,
well, yeah. And there's some that you need to take all the time for them to be effective. So you want to just make sure you just tell your doctor that, just say, I don't want the kind that I'm just having to take always. I want it when I need to really at work be performing. Otherwise I'm pretty good. And that's where ADHD coaching comes in.
Okay.
You see? Yeah. I help people plan out strategies and productivity strategies and get over procrastination and all kinds of stuff without medication.
Without medication.
Without medication. That's what coaching is all about.
So you're taking the hard route.
Yeah, well, no, you know, I have a lot of clients that really do some really creative strategizing. And I have mentor coaches who tell me, oh, the clients come back sometimes. It can be months or years later. I haven't had the repeats yet, but I've had people get to where they've solved some problems and happily go on their way, you know?
Okay.
So, My job, I'm successful if I help you never see me again.
Yeah. It's an interesting business plan, but you know.
Yeah, I know.
If your goal is to help people and not become a millionaire, then that's totally okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I write books also to help, you know, maybe supplement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cause yeah, like you said, a lot of people don't want to do it with the medication and even I like I said, I won't take it every day. I don't want to become dependent on it, you know, so that when I do not take it, then suddenly it's just like, oh my God, what's going on with my life? You know, I still want that to be the baseline. I don't mind it that much, but
it'd be
nice once in a while to be able to just crack down and get something done.
Yeah. Well, and also that's what the Facebook group, I think it's a free resource for people that, because sometimes just talking about it with someone else, just that community, and which I think you're very big on, because I was reading that you're big on the community thing.
I am, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, before we go, you just have to tell me about the community that you're building.
Well, it's free and it's for, so if you join the email list, you'll get an invite. I too have a private Facebook group. So if you join the email list, you'll get an invite to that group. It's not very big. There's only, I think, 100 people in it. But I like that about it, because it doesn't get so big that you just have people coming in and pitching their crappy business idea just to see if, you know, anyone will click on it.
No, exactly. I'm the same way. That's great.
So yeah. And I just joined your group. So
I'll come join yours. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Everybody's pretty collaborative. I mean, a lot of people join and never say anything, but hopefully they're still reading, you know, and getting value out of the people who do engage in the discussions. So yeah, I'm always looking for more people who will come in and engage with everyone else in the group. And it's very give and take, you know, nobody's in there just trying to get a bunch of advice and get people to do something for them without offering a little bit in return. So
no, I think you're just like a real inspiration. So
thank you.
Yeah. I mean, good luck and kudos. I am really going to be joining your group, and now I'm a new fan. I'm a new awesome. Fan.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to talk with other people who could be going through the same type of thing as me in your group here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's a nice group. Everybody's really nice.
Are there other entrepreneurs in it? Do you know?
Absolutely. In fact, I will tell you, there's a lot of people. I'll even write a little intro for you, because there's a lot of people who are trying to figure out how to do their side thing. They're writing blogs. They're trying to get something off the ground, and they really don't know what to do. Like, they really don't. They're really a little stuck, and they really would but they're very interesting and talented and creative. So it's not like they don't have the stuff to do it. It's almost like they don't have the, like, that next step, like, just tell me the next thing to do and I'll do it kind of a thing. You know?
They need a little bit of business coaching, like you do the ADHD coaching.
Yeah. You know what? That's exactly what it is. A little bit of business coaching. Yep.
Yeah.
And every Friday I tell them it's, you know, you can promote yourself on Fridays. Okay. So, because last Friday it was surprising, really nobody did. But before then, you know, we all listed our stuff, and I encourage everyone to check each other out. Cause like you said, it's a nice enough, small enough group that it's, you know, it's meaningful. It's not spam, you know, and I have a webinar tomorrow. So I actually promoted myself today. I broke my own rule, but
I think that's allowed.
I'm like, oh yeah. Anyway. So, well, thank you so much, Justin. And
yeah,
I will
thank you
soon in the groups and on the internets. And thank you for joining me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome. Thank you, Justin. Everybody go visit Justin Sisley at driventobetter.com. And I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the show CNADHD Talk Radio. I've been leaving ratings and reviews, and I want to thank you. If you haven't yet done it, be sure and go to iTunes. Click, rate, review. Many of you have also reached out to me on Twitter. It's been a fabulous response, and I'm real excited to keep putting out great shows that you want to hear. If you have an idea, or if you'd like to be on the show yourself, make sure you reach out to me, and we can get that set up. And remember, whether you have ADHD yourself, or you just live with or love someone else who does, we're all in it together, and everybody benefits when we see through the other's eyes.